Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How are you? Huh? Well,
whatever. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, and welcome to you. You are such a piece of good person you are. Sit down, please. Take your shoes off. Relax. Unless you're driving, don't take your shoes off. That could be dangerous. You ever drive barefoot? It just seems wrong. You can do it. I mean, I guess there's still foot action for the gas pedal and the brake and all that stuff. But it just feels wrong. Yeah. It. It's very early in the morning for me. I don't know when you're listening to this thing, but for me, it's very early in the morning. I actually got out of bed on the wrong side. One of the sides of my bed is up against the wall, and that's the side I chose to get up from. That didn't work out too well. That's the size I chose to get up. Oh, see, it's so early, I can't even talk. I can't put words together. It's a problem. Well, today isn't a day that will live on in infamy for me. Today is my birthday. No, quiet. Don't you dare. I don't celebrate my birthday. I'm just saying. We all have birthdays every year. See, there's the sun. And the planets, they revolve around the sun. And that's considered an entire year. For some reason, I'm celebrating the planet going around the sun once. I do this every year. It's of no consequence to me. I get older every single day. Why today do we make such a big deal out of it? It's because of the damn rotation around the sun. That's the scientific explanation. I've talked about this before. I've talked about everything before, actually. Birthdays are a very strange thing. When you're a young child, birthdays are held for you. You don't know what the hell's going on. All of a sudden, all these people are seated in the middle. I can't talk, it's too early. All these people that you don't know are seated around a metal table, sitting in metal chairs, and there's a birthday cake placed in front of you. You don't know what the hell's going on. Some of these kids you know, most of them you don't. They're friends of parents of your parents. They have nothing to do with you whatsoever. You're like 4 years old. You don't even know where you live. And these people are singing happy birthday to you. You're asked to blow out candles. It's just you don't know what's going on. You don't know anything about the planets revolving around the sun. And then there's party games. And you can't wait to go home, but the problem is you are home. Then you get a little bit older, and then you start celebrating birthdays like they're fantastic. I'd say from 12 to 21, birthdays are so cool. You live the entire year for the birthday celebration itself. Now you know the people that take you out and celebrate your birthday and fawn over you, and you want to be fawned over. You like it when people pay attention to you. Hey, this isn't so bad. Once a year, everybody looks at me and buys me things and pays special attention to me. This is a fantastic day. And you're getting older, and you want to get older. You want to be 21 so you can drink. And you want to be able to drive your own car and have your own life and have your freedom to leave the prison walls of your parents. You can't wait to get older and have sex every day. You don't have to lock the door anymore either. It's an auspicious occasion. You want to go out with your friends? Go out with your friends. They can't stop you anymore. It's the best years of anybody's life. It's freedom. Those birthdays are fantastic. They continue to be fantastic till you're 30 years old. When you turn 30, all of a sudden you get a little bit nervous. And whoa, this is going a little faster than I thought. Yeah, I've got my freedom. I can drink. I can drive. Hopefully not together at the same time. I have a little job. Maybe you got married during those years, and all of a sudden life has become quite routine. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take a shower. Well, some of you don't. You go to work, you come home, eat some food, go to bed. What kind of life is this? Is this what I was so excited about when I was younger? And the marriage thing was such a wonderful idea. What happened to those concepts? So you hit 30 and all of a sudden it's, oh, I'm not young anymore. I'm over the hump. My body is not developing anymore. It's starting to deteriorate. And I'm only 30. But you keep celebrating your birthdays because you're delusional. Then, someday, you hit 50. 50! That's it. I'm done. I'm over. This is all there is. I still continue to get up in the morning, brush my teeth, take a shower, have some breakfast, go to work. I get a little time off for lunch. Go home, eat some more food, go to bed. That continued. Nothing changed. I had some kids along the way. Thought that was a good idea. Whoa, that was difficult. It wasn't hard to have them. It was hard to deal with them. Peeing in my face and throwing up and screaming and yelling and the expense and the time and the mommy, daddy, mommy. What a wonderful experience, but at the same time, that was exhausting. Now I'm 50. It's over. No one will hire me anymore. I don't look so good. I'm getting fat. 50, man. Your friends celebrate your birthday because 50 is a milestone. I don't know why. For some reason, 50 times around the sun, it's a milestone. I have no idea why. So your friends celebrate your birthday more than you do. After 50, you don't say your age anymore because you don't want people to know. You still feel young in your head, but your body is starting to prune up a little bit. The hair is growing out of places that it never grew out of before. And the places you want it to be growing out of have ceased to exist. People are looking at you differently. Look at him. Look at her. And then you start getting comments, oh, you look good for your age. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, you look good for your age. Uh-oh. These trips around the sun are not as enjoyable as they used to be. After 50, forget it. What are we talking about here? Why even bother talking about that? That's when you avoid your birthday. Hey, your birthday's coming up. Oh, no. Not again. Not again. It just came up. Oh, no. There's one thing that remains the same through every birthday, and that's the cake. I don't know where birthdays would be if there wasn't cake. I mean, people don't say, hey, it's your birthday, let's gather around and slice up the zucchini. No, you don't do that. Eat the cake. Everybody loves the cake. The cake is a decadent thing. Oh, I can't have any cake, just a small slice. Ever hear that? I do it every year. No, I can't. Just the smallest little slice. And then the person cutting the cake, they don't listen to you. They don't listen to you. A small slice. They ask for a small slice. Fuck you. You're getting a big slice. I don't listen to you. I know it's your birthday, but you're getting a big slice. And they give you like a quarter of the cake. And you say to yourself, I can't eat this. I can't. I'll have a couple of little tastes, a couple of forkfuls. I can't eat this. Thank you so much. I can't eat this. 1 minute later, you've eaten the entire cake. You can't stop. And you don't feel so good. You feel good, but you don't feel so good. Birthdays are fun. I think when you're younger, birthdays are enjoyable. And you get older and birthdays are curses. They're just horrible. You know, don't get me anything. That's where I'm at. I don't celebrate my birthday. Somebody says, hey, isn't your birthday coming up? I respond by saying, I don't know who you are and I don't know what you're talking about. And please don't talk that way to me. And then it all reverses. It all becomes very weird. When you start turning 90, if you should make it so long, and I hope you do, you get to be 90, 95, 96, then you're, for some reason, you're proud of that. And I don't understand that you're proud of it. And you walk around and you say, hello, my name is Bob. Guess what? I'm 96. 96, that's incredible. And for some reason, that's an enjoyable experience. I would never tell somebody I'm 96. How old are you, Ron? 12? No, you're older than that. 96? Wow, you look great for your age. You look great for your age. Once you start hearing you look great for your age, it's time to pack the suitcase. Go to Florida, where everybody else goes, where everybody else is 96. Florida should not be the Sunshine State. By the way, it rains in Florida every single day, so how it got the nickname the Sunshine State, I'll never know. It should be called the You Look Great for 96 State. Something's wrong somewhere. And I have a feeling I know where. So happy birthday to me. Thank you for all your cards and letters. It's really... really annoying, but no, the thought is there, and I appreciate that, and I'm really a loving person. I'm trying to be really grumpy, but I can't be because it's my birthday, and I'm actually 96, and it's very, very depressing.
It was unbelievably painful.
It is unbelievably painful, so please understand that. No, I'm not 96, and I'm not 12. I'm somewhere in between. It's just, I don't know where. I could do the math, but to be honest with you, don't care to. Don't care to do the math. Another day, another change of the underpants.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Okay, here's my food fetish. Oh, by the way, before I get into that, my guest is coming up rather soon. This is, you came on a very good day today. You really did. I mean, you, I don't mean that. I mean, you chose to listen on a very good day. I have an attorney coming on in the show very soon, and he goes back decades as an attorney for individuals who were sexually abused by the Catholic Church, priests, etc. And as you know, that has come up in the news again, and he is still advocating. So we're going to learn about all the sexual abuse stuff that's been going on for decades and decades in the Catholic Church. I'm not putting the Catholic Church down. Sexual abuse happens everywhere. But when it comes to the Catholic Church, or any religious thing, I guess, why would it not happen there? Because they're supposed to be above all that. That's why it shouldn't happen there. Well, Ron, priests are only human. That's not what they tell me. I'm always intrigued by priests. I used to videotape weddings for a living and did rather well with it. And I would go to church like every Saturday and Sunday and Friday evening to videotape weddings. And I always remember the bride and the groom would be standing at the altar, not sitting at the altar, that would be silly. They'd be standing at the altar and the priest would be standing in front of them and preaching to them about the virtues of marriage and how you should get along. And I kept saying to myself, the one person that never ever got married is telling two people getting married how to be married. This is crazy. this is nuts. This whole thing is nuts. So anyway, so when I was growing up, I loved peanut butter sandwiches and bologna sandwiches. Not together, either peanut butter sandwich or a bologna sandwich. I loved them. I told my mother every day when I went to school, this is what I want for a sandwich. And she did it for me because it shut me up. When I got older, I really got into seafood salad sandwiches. Ron, where did that come from? I don't know. But I love them. And then I come to find out one day when I'm reading, I bought some seafood salad from the deli. And I looked at the ingredients and there's no seafood in it, really. It's seafood salad. I thought there was crab meat. It's not crab meat. It's imitation crab meat. It says on the container, imitation crab meat. Someone is imitating crab meat. Some seafood impersonator is imitating crab meat. Now, I know what crab meat looks like. I've had crab meat before. But some crab meat is not real. It's being imitated. So what is the imitation crab meat? It's pressed weird fish. And I don't understand how it's made or what it is. But now I'm kind of thinking it tastes like plastic now. So now I'm totally off of seafood salad because I don't know what the hell's in it. All I know is there's no crab meat in there. It's imitation crab meat. That sucks. That's like having sex with somebody named Lucy. And you're having sex with Lucy and you find out after you've had sex with Lucy, that's not Lucy. That's Susan imitating Lucy. Now, Lucy did a pretty good job, I gotta tell you. Susan imitating Lucy was pretty good. She fooled me. She tricked me. But I'm not involved in it anymore. I you don't trick me. And that's pretty much what it's about. Imitation crab meat. How dare you? How dare you imitate crab meat? Somewhere there's crab meat sitting around, not being shoved into sandwiches because the imitation crab meat is getting all the work. This has got to stop. Somewhere this has got to stop. I want truth. I want truth in advertising. I want a big sticker on my imitation crab meat salad that says, this is not crab meat. It's imitation crab meat. Big warning sticker. Big in fluorescent pink. Imitation crab meat. Not really crab meat at all. Not even close. All right, that's enough of that. I'm getting all upset about imitation crab meat, and I'm starting to realize there might be other things that are more important than that. And that's where my guest comes in. Let's speak to the attorney about a very serious subject, to be honest with you.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing there, Richard?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Attorney Richard M. Serban joins us now. He's talking about the survivors of the abuse by the Catholic Church priests and clergy. Of course, our show emanates from the Boston area, so we're somewhat familiar with this situation, as you can imagine.
You are.
Yes. What prompted you to get involved in this fight?
Well, actually, I was involved years before the exposure of what happened in the Archdiocese of Boston. I filed my first lawsuit in 1987. Ooh. Against a priest that molested children, a bishop, and a diocese, the Diocese of Altoona Johnstown.
Wow. Okay. And then has this been prominent from that time all the way back until now, or do we hear about sporadic incidents that are consequential and that's it, or is this a constant thing that takes place all over the country?
Well, you hear about it only, Boston is a large market. Altoona, Pennsylvania is much smaller. And even though it was exposed in 1994 after an 11-week trial, it didn't get the publicity that it did in Boston. But it was the roots for the exposure by the Pennsylvania grand jury of a systemic problem, not unique to Pennsylvania, but a problem that has gone on throughout the country, where priests have molested children and bishops and church leaders have covered it up, protected and enabled these child predators. Yeah.
Let me ask you about that, because I don't understand. I know that if you are the predator itself, you are certainly, you're scrutinized under the law accordingly. But those that aid and abet, as you mentioned, that are aware of those situations, keep them hushed, even move the perpetrators around to different areas where they can strike again, they are not usually the targets of criminal activity, although they have aided and abetted. I don't quite understand that.
Well, your confusion is understandable to me, because you would think that any bishop or church leader that has participated in the conspiracy of a crime,
right,
that is covering up the molestation of a child, would be charged with both criminal and civil crimes.
Correct.
Unfortunately, it hasn't happened, except there was one case involving Monsignor Lynn, the vicar general in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, where he was prosecuted, the first case in the country. That needs to happen elsewhere.
Yes. Is that because of the separation of church and state, which I think is for a totally different reason, but is it also part of that, where the churches take care of their own thing, and the sovereign city or town is not to be involved?
The molestation of a child is a crime. It's never protected under freedom of religion. The problem is the deference that has been given by police, district attorneys, judges to the church and members of the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws. Of the 300 child predators identified in Pennsylvania by the grand jury, I'm only aware of one that has served any time in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And tragically, our laws protect the child predator and those that shield and enable the child predator rather than the survivors of abuse.
You're asking for the survivors to come forward because when these things reach a boil, it is the best time to do so, I would assume. But survivors don't come forward, and it might be the same thing that we went through with the Kavanaugh deal where you don't want to expose yourself and go through that. Is that the reasoning?
Well, number one, I mean, it's important for survivors to come forward,
mm-hmm.
Not only to empower them, but to stop other children from being sexually molested.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And the reason why it's so difficult is you can imagine how personal it is to discuss with others
mm-hmm.
Something so horrible in their life. It's embarrassing, it's humiliating, and in some cases the child, now the adult, feels that maybe they did something wrong
yes.
to prompt the priest
yes.
to target them. And that's not the case.
Mm.
They were young, innocent, and trusting of someone they were taught to respect as
sure.
a representative
sure.
of God. And that trust was betrayed.
Yes. And as bad as that, again, as bad as that betrayal was by the priest or whoever the perpetrator was, the fact that it was covered up is just, to me, it's almost worse because it reeks of conspiracy and through an institution that people have put their lives and souls into. It's phenomenal even that we're talking about this.
It is a conspiracy, and in fact, in the case that I tried, which is the only case that I'm aware of mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania that's ever gone to a verdict, the jury actually found that the bishop and the church
mm-hmm.
was more at fault than the predator,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so, in my opinion, because they had an opportunity to stop it.
Correct.
And instead, in the Hutchison v. Luddy case that I tried, that child molester went on for 19 years sexually abusing
yep.
children.
Wow. It's amazing. And of course, you know, we always say it's not every priest, it's not every town and city that this is necessarily the case, but it certainly opens up a Pandora's box of doubt sometimes.
It should open a Pandora's box. I mean, you know, the public parishioners, they trust the church to do the right thing, to
yes.
do the moral, ethical
yes.
thing.
Yes.
That's sadly not the case. Of course, there's good priests that want to do the right thing.
Certainly.
But unfortunately, the bad ones, those that prey upon children, have been protected.
Yeah. And that takes it a mile further in the wrong direction. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing in order to, I wouldn't use the word expose, but to actually correct it is really what you're trying to do and to bring people to justice. Do you find that there's a lot of support now?
Yes. In 1987, I had threats, anonymous calls.
Mm-hmm.
I was chastised, as was my client in mm-hmm. the Catholic newspaper. No one would believe in 1987 that a priest would sexually molest a child. The public knows otherwise now.
Okay, good. How can we get more information about this and perhaps participate in correcting and supporting?
Well, you can contact, survivors can contact their Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
We're available at jjsjustice.com/church
mm-hmm.
To talk in confidence with you, provide support, and in, very importantly, listen, because so many survivors want to speak to someone they can trust.
Well, Attorney Serban, thank you for doing what you do. It's much appreciated by everyone, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for airing this.
Very good. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Oh. Amazing that we're even talking about this stuff. It's just amazing to me. And you too, probably. Well, that's it for today. We've been lighthearted, we've been serious, and shifting everything in between. Now it's time for me to leave you until the next time a weekday rolls around, which is rather soon. I wish you peace.